You are our hope, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bless your holy name today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray for the rest of the service, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Anoint every part of it, Lord. Let people see just how much you love them today, Lord. Meet their every need. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are my rock in times of trouble. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. You've been in trouble before? Then the best thing we can do is turn to Jesus. He's the only one who can lift us up, and he's the only foundation that we can build our lives on. Thank you, God, that you love us so much that you continually do that. Like we did last week, we're going to take a minute and just shake a few hands. We want to make sure that everybody here is welcome. We're going to make some extra effort to do that. We want you to know we're glad you're part of this worship time. So let's stand up. Let's meet a few people. Shake your hand. Don't be funny.
Brethren, greetings.
Good to see you, Mark. God bless you. Hey, good to see you. Hi, I'm Stan. I'm glad you're here, Janice. Bless your name, God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Hey John. God bless you. Is it getting better? Just to sit. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Amen. You're ready to worship, and we have been worshiping. All right. One thing to remember is that at the end of the service, we got a potluck going, so stuff you're smelling is good food, and you're welcome to come, even if you didn't bring anything. There's going to be lots of food. I know some ladies cooked up some turkeys or whatever that is, so we're gonna enjoy that time together. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can be here. We're excited about worshiping you, and we proclaim you as our God and your Son as our Savior and our Lord. We pray that what we do here today would just truly lift up your name, and we want to bring glory to your name, God. And we come here with our brokenness, we come here with our needs, and we just ask you, Lord, to show yourself. We need you, God. We need you to touch our lives and to heal us and to remind us that no matter what, you watch over us and you care for us, that you are the God who heals us and that you're faithful. We welcome you, and more than anything, we just want to give glory to your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Fabian, I thought you left. You going to come up? Come on, I'll help you. This isn't easy. This is not easy. Sometimes it's hard to talk in front of people. But let's encourage them. We love you. Give me a hug. You're my brother, right? All right. Come on up. Anywhere you want, but okay. Oop. We're dancing now. I'm just here in case you fall.
I know. I'm a pretty quiet guy. I don't talk to too many people in here. Maybe I should, but I don't. I'm not going to tell you my whole story. Because I was...
You stuck right into it.
I'm not going to tell you my whole story. Because I was talking to somebody, and that's the past.
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you a little bit what's going on. Mm-hmm. I got an aunt that's dying. You know, she gave her life to Jesus, as far as I know. I got a kid sister that's been, she's not going to make it. She had ovarian cancer. She went through 21 rounds of chemotherapy and radiation. She thought it was good. Next thing you know, three more. Two in her lungs and one in her aorta. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel bad for my mom. She's 62 years old. She's on the clock giving her shots. It's very stressful. And I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy that had a broken heart. Mm-hmm. You know. I'm very grateful to be working, to keep my mind occupied and stuff like that, and because it's so hard to go back to what I used to do. But his name is Ethan, and they went in, they done it, put a shunt in there to open up one of his main ways, roots for his heart.
How old is Ethan?
He's only 8 weeks old.
He's 8 weeks old.
8 weeks old, you know, and... At first, I thought that was, yeah, okay, they're doing it. He was born like that. I thought it was just put a shunt in there to open it up. Next thing you know, I find out that they just, it's an 8-millimeter hole. You know, and it's been very stressful. He lived like that for a bit. And he shipped him back to the Stollery Hospital there, and he'd done a surgery 5.5 hours. So anyhow, the first 24 was real rocky. His heart wasn't doing the best, and, you know, he's been working so hard, and it's... Mm-hmm. So anyhow, he's come along, but...
That's good.
He's on a pacemaker still. I just got news today. You know, they disconnected it just to see if the heart was going to, you know, replenish itself. And yeah, it did.
You did? That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Hmm.
Still a little weak yet. Because it's been pumping ever since. He's just a kid. You know, fast on one side, slow on the next. It's not, it was filling up his lungs with blood.
Mm-hmm.
Constricting it so he couldn't breathe, couldn't gain weight, couldn't eat. That's my story, what I've been going through. And I appreciate all the prayers that these guys can give me. JC is, he's there. And I know he's there.
That's right.
Thank you.
There. I love you, man. I love you. So you saw him last night?
Yeah.
And yesterday?
Yesterday.
What did that feel like, seeing him?
He's a little boy.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an emotional toll.
It is, yeah. That's good, though. That's good. And, like, I can say this, I think, that... Other times in your life, When you've had this kind of hard stuff going through, you didn't run to God, you ran to something else, right? But you're running to God now. And that's the best thing you can do, Faith. And if that little boy has half the heart his dad has, he's going to be a fighter. Pray with me. God, thank you that you are so good. And even in our brokenness, you pick us up. And you've been so faithful to Ethan, too. And we pray, God, that you will heal him completely. Thank you for the good report this morning that there's good news and that he's starting on that road back, but it's a hard road and he's a little boy, just a tiny 5-pound little boy. He needs you, God. And so in the name of Jesus, we just join our faith together and we pray that you'll touch him and heal him. We pray, God, that you will bring life to this family. We pray that you'll bring healing to this family. I thank you for my friend, for Fabian, and that he is just turning to you. There's nowhere else we can go. Keep him strong, Lord. Just keep him on the road that looks only to Jesus. And we trust you, God. We trust that you're going to bring the healing and that you're going to bring restoration. We know what your word says, that you are a redemptive God. You redeem what is evil. You take what is evil. You take what is bad and you turn it to good. And we stand on that promise today. And we stand with our brother and we encourage him. And we continue to pray for these twins, but especially for little Ethan. And thank you that you prove to be faithful all the time. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You do too. And that's just a reminder, and I'm reminded of last weekend, a year ago, was when we were calling you to pray for my grandson, Isaac. And just a reminder, you know, sometimes I need to be reminded of these things, but just a reminder that a year ago, the doctors were saying just abort him. There's no way he's going to make it. He also was a twin. They told my daughter-in-law, they said, he doesn't have a chance. The water's broken. It's you might as well not go through all this agony. Well, I'll tell you what, that kid is 8 months old now, and he's crawling all over the place, and he's standing by furniture. And he's probably the smartest eight-month-old kid for a long ways away, you know. Isn't God good? That's so good. And I remember this weekend, because I was supposed to be traveling last weekend a year ago, and we didn't go because we were so worried that something terrible was going to happen. I wanted to be there for my son. I wanted to be there to just encourage him and hold him in my arms because we were expecting something awful to happen. And it did not, because we pray, because we believe. Whew, thank you, God. Last week, I challenged you. I said that God wants us to start honing the vision of who we are. What kind of church are we? What is our vision? What are we supposed to be doing? What's our mandate? What's our calling? And I said that over the next little while here, we're going to be sharing some things together, and I'm waiting for some of your responses too. I may not be able to get to everybody every time, and I may not pick you. I may be picking someone else whose hand is up. But I've been asking you, I believe God is asking us, that we pray about this and we seek this. What are we here for? Would there be anything that would happen if we weren't here? Would there be any notice if Potter's Hands Ministry wasn't around anymore? You know, would people notice? Why are we here? What's the purpose that God's placed us here? And what is that vision that God has for us? Have you been asking God that question? And if so, I'm just interested to hear some of the responses. What do we got to do? How do we become the church that he wants us to be? Hard question, huh? Yeah, Norma, I'm going to just get the mic, okay, because you're short. Yeah.
When we look at what we want in a church, we have to look inside ourselves what we want in a church. And I think that in our Christian walk, it takes us time to learn to trust the Father.
Yeah.
And to me, being able to trust your brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. trust one another, that when we share things, they will remain in confidence, that we will pray, and that we will love each other where we are, mm-hmm. remembering where we've come from, because
yeah.
none of us have arrived, despite what we might think. And when we were singing the song about casting our crowns before the Lord,
yeah.
I was reminded that the crowns are the blessings in our life. And thank you, Lord, for peace in my home. Thank you, Lord, for that I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for this church.
Yes,
thank
God.
You, Lord, for children that are making good decisions.
Yes,
and all of these things are, we trust the Father that he'll take care of that, but we need to be able to trust one another. Not to criticize, but to love and encourage. And that, to me, is...
I like that. So we start with trust. There's a good thing to start with, that we need to learn to trust each other, but we also need to be trustworthy, that we are honoring each other, that we're not gossiping about each other, that we are on the same team. We are not on different teams. Like we say all the time, the Baptists aren't on a different team either, and neither are the Presbyterians. We stand together. We are Christians. We declare Jesus as our Lord. But in this group, learning to trust each other, that's awesome. Don?
What I really believe that what the Holy Spirit is saying is to tell the world, how are we going to witness to the world?
Yeah.
We have to tell him what he did. What did Jesus do for you? What did he do at the cross? The cross is the most important thing there is.
Mm.
And, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If we haven't got the cross, we got nothing. We're still in our sins.
Yeah.
But we have to tell the world, why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do we want to talk about Jesus all the time? Because the Holy Spirit is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, there's a force in here driving. There's two spirits in this body. And when we really realize that he's inside us, Colossians says, Christ in us in the hope of glory. Yeah. We got glory when we got Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
That is exciting. And we have to tell the world. Tell the world. The Bible says the harvest is ripe.
That's right.
The harvest is ripe. And me being an old farmer, I can see the harvest. I see it's ripe. It's waving in the wind.
Yeah.
We have to tell the people. Especially the seniors, when I go there this afternoon, my heart just aches for them, that some don't know who Jesus is, and they're in their 90s.
Yeah.
We have to tell them.
Good word. Good, I'm glad. You bring us to the cross, and we need to be at the cross. It's central to the church, central to who we are, central to the message that we bring, and like Don said, Jesus said, go into all the world, right? Go into all the world. You have something to share, and it's good news. Jeff, would you stand?
And it goes exactly with what you just said. Go out. Go out is the word. And that's what it is. Yesterday, it's just a reminder, too. Yesterday, I went to Staples to buy paper for my printer. And I dropped it off in my car, and I didn't feel like I was supposed to leave the mall yet. So I went back in, and I walked by three people, and they were talking to somebody. And then chairs just abroad or just beyond them, I went and sat because I knew those three people were coming to talk to me. And sure enough, as soon as they did finish up with that one guy, they came straight line right to me. It was pretty amazing. And what they were doing was walking around the mall and saying, hey, we pray for people that are hurting and that are sick and that are hurting physically, and we see miracles. Says, can we pray for you?
Cool.
And they didn't know who I was. And then I was able to share with them with a brother who's just learning to pray for people in a public place.
Awesome.
So that's basically, it goes right along with what Don was saying, is to go.
And listen.
To go and listen.
Listen to God.
Yeah.
Listen to what God's telling us. Alvin, would you go to Rick, please? And Rick had his hand up, I think. Right, Ricky? Ricky will be next. There's two Rickies.
I wasn't here last weekend, so I didn't really hear. But I've been struggling at work, and Friday was real hard for me. I was getting yelled at and screamed at and sweared at all day. And I'm just learning how to deal with other people's emotions to not affect my emotion, but it did really affect my emotion that day. And I was just texting Kim. I'm like, oh, I'm just having such a bad day. And she's like, God wants you to learn something through this. I'm like, I don't know what, but he's teaching me something.
That's right.
And so one of the guys like everybody was getting yelled at, and we started arguing back and forth, and I just stopped, and I was like, you know what? We need not to treat each other the way that we're getting treated.
Hmm.
We need to treat each other good. And then on the way home, I was just praying to God, like, what? I need revelation. I need to know, like, what? Why am I here? And it's funny that you guys asked that question, because I was asking God, I'm like, why am I here? Like, I need to know.
Yeah.
And it just, I was looking around and I was like, I'm not even here for me. I'm not here for me at all. I'm here for everybody around me. Here to show God's love.
Wow.
And love everybody. Love my family, love my wife, and love everybody who doesn't have love.
That's good.
And just love everyone.
Amen.
Through God. And that's what God showed me.
Wow. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you, God. I hope you heard that. I'm not here for me. Somehow I think that's got to be part of this foundation. You know, what kind of church, what kind of body, what kind of fellowship is this? Maybe we got to stop thinking about what's in this for me, and start thinking about what's in this for God and how I can contribute to this community. And that I'm not just coming because I'm getting something out of it.
Good morning. The question that Stan asked this morning, where is this body going to? And that is my prayer, because I know that God sent me here. There was a time that I didn't go nowhere. We had prayer meetings in people's homes. And I remember when I came to live in the building I live now, in one of Stan's buildings. What is it called? Convent Park. And I met people there that talked about, I could talk with them about the Lord. Mm. And so one day, Samantha, she asked me, hey Rick, but where are you going to church? I said, nowhere. And she looked at me, and I know that I have lost many times fellowship with people because I didn't go anywhere. And so I brought that to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do this because we can talk about you, but if I don't belong anywhere, I'm on my own.
That's right.
So, I don't know, this thing is going off right now. So I prayed, and God led me here to this body in a very, very strange but powerful way. And I pray for this body. I ask that we will never fall apart, even when we don't necessarily love one another. Mm-hmm. I can't love everybody. But no, I can't.
But you're talking about unity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my heart is for them, and I don't say God changed them. God changed me. Yeah. Because we need to change, and we need to belong somewhere. And I thank God for all of you. That we will never fall apart, that we will belong, and that we will treasure what God gave us.
Amen. Lucy. Thank you.
I'd just like to thank the church for praying for me. When I was in the hospital, I was healed of many things.
Mm.
And I know my leg is, my foot's pretty bad, but I know I'm going to pull through that too, because I believe Jesus, and his stripes.
Right.
By his stripes, I'm healed. And
what were you healed from, Lucy?
A collapsed lung.
Collapsed lung.
Collapsed kidney.
Okay.
I had tubes in them and
right.
A pneumonia, and I was in a coma.
Right.
And then I was on life support.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
It's a miracle you're here. And there are a lot of people who are praying for you, and some of us over your bed sometimes.
Yeah, I thank God for my Christian family.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that my mom brought us up believing in the Lord, or I wouldn't be here today.
And you still need our prayers, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to, you know what? What you're telling us, I think this is what God's saying through you, is we need to be praying for each other. We need to be upholding each other. And I think right now we got to pray for you. So maybe Kim And Alvin and Rick, you stand around and pray for Lucy. We're going to pray for your health. We're also going to pray that you stay clean.
Yes.
That's a fair prayer, right? It's okay if I say that.
Yeah.
We're going to be honest, right? We need you need to be off the pills. We need to be clean.
Yeah.
You guys pray for her.
Papa, I just thank you so much that your love covers a multitude of sin.
Yes, God.
And that your love covers and conquers all. And so we just declare right now into Lucy's spirit and into her body right now just the deliverance that comes through the power, the dunamis power of the resurrection. We just command her soul to become excellent by your power, and we declare, Father, that all she needs is you, that you will shut every door to the enemy in the name of Jesus. Every assignment that has been given to the enemy against her, the enemies around her, they will be canceled right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that has been the atonement for every sin. And we just thank you right now, Lord, that as she turns to you and submits herself to you, God, that the enemy has to flee right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word and your truth that sets us free right now. So we declare the word of God over you right now, Lucy, and we declare that he who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
And I declare that every demonic assignment with addiction that the enemy has brought against you right now will be canceled right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every lie saying that you need those drugs to bring you fulfillment, to bring you peace, they are lies right now, and we cut them off right now. All you need is Jesus, Lucy.
Yes.
And so we just declare that truth into you right now, that he is more than enough, and that he will bring everything that you need as you turn to him and surrender your life to him. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your healing, oh God. We thank you for this testimony, Lord, that will help so many. You said we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I declare that her testimony, Lord, will defeat the enemy and many others' lives, God, and that they will turn to you when they see the miraculous power that you have within Lucy, and that that can be theirs as well. So, Lord, I thank you for this life. I thank you, Lord, for her story that she can tell, that you are a healing God, that you are a delivering God, but most of all, that you are all that we need. And God, we just thank you for the healing and the deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
You are alive for a reason, Lucy.
Amen.
Everyone was saying, you're not going to make it. There's a purpose that God has. There's a reason why you're sitting here today, and you are loved. All right? Okay, Louise. Louise, and then Margarita's going to get the last word on this. We'll be able to do this again maybe next week and weeks to come. Go ahead. Okay. Sorry.
I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, I don't know if anybody, how many people know, but I was in the hospital. I had been in there for 5 days. And what happened was I over-medicated myself, like, because I got sick and I thought, oh, I picked up all my meds and I better retake them. No, because when you take them, they go into your bloodstream and that's it. So then when I over, then I, so like, and I was sitting there, I was laying there at home, I was just sick, and then all of a sudden I was asleep, kind of dozing, and all of a sudden, it just went dark. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was dead. I had died. And I'm not saying this to be dramatic or anything, but I knew that I was dead. And then all of a sudden, I just snapped back. Just snapped back, and I'm going, oh. Well, that was weird. And then after I was thinking about it, I'm going, like, what happened? And I said, why wasn't I scared, or, you know, why I wasn't there, you know, because it was just totally black. And he goes, and then he showed me, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Yeah.
And I wasn't scared at all through this time, eh? And so I know that the Lord has a plan for me.
Yeah.
And I was in there because of, I have high blood pressure. And I had to get it under control because I need my license.
Yeah.
And had to get that under control. And then I just stopped. It's been over a month or so, and I've quit smoking.
Cool.
and quit drinking.
That's
quit
good.
Drinking.
Amen.
So, you know, praise
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
And it's because I want to live on and try and be an example.
Exactly.
Of what we can do. There's, I'm not saying I'm perfect yet, but like I do have my problems and my addictions, and I hate them because like they just sometimes they just feel like they're gonna grab you and drag you down. But you know, the Lord will bring me here. So Lord bless.
I love what you said about being an example. That's so good, and we need to be examples, right? There's people here, you know, even family sometimes. There's a number of people, lots of people that come here, they have no fatherly figures. There's no one in their life that was ever a father for them. And we set that example for them sometimes. And Margarita, remember the question, right? That what kind of church Christ wants us to be? We are his church.
This is what I want in this church. It's in Titus chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us.
Good word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. All right. That's God's word, and it's, again, it's about being an example. It's about being a teaching each other. Those who are more mature, we should... Elvin, you need to keep that microphone because you have a couple things you want to share. Sorry about that, but just that we learn to disciple each other. We learn to mentor people who need mentoring and to be good examples. That's so important. You have no idea. You might be an amazing example. Someone is learning from you, you know, because of the kind of life you're living. People are watching. People are watching how we live. And so we need to live consistent lives where Christ is the Lord of our lives and that our light is shining. Amen? All right. Elvin, you got a couple things to just let us know about?
Amen. Just to let us know, December 13th, we're going out to Hobima, and we're going to be out there for a lunch and a supper. And then we're going to have a concert. We're involved with a couple other churches in the city and out there from Musquechese as well. So you're all invited. Those who want to help, come along. And Brother Doug Kenny here, he's going to bring some singing going on there as well. So if you want more information, come talk to me later. I'm really excited about this, the Lift Up Red Deer, a call to prayer. I tell you, if we don't pray, we'll never amount to a hill of beans. Amen? The only reason why any of us are here is because someone prayed for us. That's the only reason, and the grace of God. Amen? So it behooves us who have been rescued from the chains of darkness and certain death and an eternal hell, it behooves us to go and pray. So I'm asking, you know, maybe even begging, come and pray. Your prayers will make a difference for the city of Red Deer and Central Alberta. Amen? Your one sentence prayer can make a difference, a world of a difference. My children are here in this city. My grandchildren are here in this city. They're not serving the Lord, many of them. And it's your prayers in conjunction with my prayers and my wife's prayers will make a difference. Amen? So you got friends, you got neighbors that are dying. If they die today, if we were called into judgment today, those men and those women would go into an eternal hell, eternal separation. But we have the answer. It's Jesus inside of us. Amen? The hope of glory. And so when we pray and intercede, we're going to see a change in the atmosphere in Central Alberta like you've never seen before. And we're going to see a mighty move of the Spirit here. Amen? That being said, I got this other yellow one here. And the only reason, one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why I'm here is because I'm on staff here. If Stan was being paid, I wouldn't be on staff. Right? There's just no way. We just can't afford it. You know, there's just no finances in it. And we have to tithe. Tithe. We don't talk a lot about tithing or anything like that, but we have a box over there that for donations, and we can only function. I can only function with your support. And I'm on the streets of Red Deer. I'm trying to make a difference, and I'm asking you guys, please pray for me that I would impact these people's lives. I just don't want to give them a watered-down gospel, just, oh, a friend or whatever, but I want to impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So with your prayers, I tell you, it's making a world of difference. I know about 2 months ago, I wasn't much for asking for help, for prayer for anybody, or for myself in particular, to do anything down there. But I mentioned it to Stan and then on Sunday night. And I tell you, I've had weeks where it's just been divine appointments. Divine appointments. I kid you not. And so, but I want to impact them with the gospel. That's my heart's cry. Amen. I can't take riches with me. I can't take houses. I can't take vehicles, Lexus or any other vehicle. I can't take those things with me, but I can take this with me. I can take the souls of men and women. Amen. And you will all stand before the living God one day and give an account. What have you done with this salvation? Amen. And so I just greatly encourage you. Support us. Support what the work God is doing here. Potter's Hands, I tell you, God has raised up a man and woman, you know, to see the hurting people on the streets of Red Deer. And we're making a difference. So please help and support that. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I just thank you for Pastor Stan and Crystal, Lord God, that you have called. You've called them, Lord God. They didn't have intentions of coming and doing this type of work. They didn't have it planned, Lord God, but you did, Jesus. And God, you have a way of bringing people to the end of their lives and showing them something greater, Lord God. So I thank you for Stan and Crystal. I thank you for this couple. And God, I just pray for your anointing to be upon my brother as he brings forth this word this morning. And help us to hear, Lord God, what you're saying to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. The prayer meeting is Wednesday. It is at 7 o'clock, and it is at the Harvest House. Did I say that right? All churches are coming. So like I said last time my wife and I were privileged to pray with 6 Roman Catholic people. We sat in a circle together, and we just enjoyed the unity, and we worshiped, and we spoke of our love for the same Lord. Praise God. All right, we're going to, boy, I told the preacher today he's got to be short because there's food waiting, so we're not going to go real, real long here. Don't get your hopes up. It's not going to be over in 5 minutes either. But we're talking about what the series of sermons is, or Advent sermons, and it's about preparing us for Christmas, preparing us for the birth of Jesus, and looking at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, that one part of Scripture that we never read because it's got all the different names and all the different family tree. It's the family tree of Joseph, and as we talked about last week, this is the legal genealogy, not the actual genealogy, but the legal genealogy of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the series of sermons that are coming and that are preparing us for the birth of Jesus are related to the 4 women who are found in this genealogy. And they are Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, and Mary, ultimately Mary. And we're not done with Tamar yet, so we're going to spend a little more time with that. But just read the first few verses with me so I can give you the context of that. Matthew chapter 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. That's just as far as we're going to read today. We're talking about Tamar. And that her child was Perez. Now let's look at that story. And we turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 38. And like I said last week, this is just one of those really hard stories to talk about even. It's PG-13, if not PG-14 or 15 or whatever the words are. This is one of those stories that are really down to earth, and pretty graphic, and there's full of all kinds of stuff in here that you almost don't want your kids to hear about. And I'm not going to read the whole story again. You can read it yourselves later. I've read it through once, and that was bold enough of me. But I can tell you what it's about. It's about a daughter-in-law whose name was Tamar, and she was a daughter-in-law of Judah. And her husband, Onan, was really put to death, actually, by God, because he was disobedient to God, and he spilled his semen on the ground rather than impregnate his wife, because he didn't want his wife, he didn't think that would be his children. Those are not going to be my children, he said. And God takes that really seriously, because God's the author of life. So the story goes on, and I'm just going to tell it kind of briefly. Like I said, it reads like a soap opera or something that you'd see on HBO. But what happens is that she acts like a prostitute later on. She sleeps with Judah. He takes her as a prostitute, and he actually impregnates her. And like, this is important, and I know that all this stuff is a big part of the story, but that the reason why we're told the story is because it's all about the father's promise. And that in Tamar's case, Judah had promised her that he would give her a son who would give her a son, okay? So it was a promise that Judah never fulfilled. And so she took matters into her own hands, and she ended up prostituting herself with her father-in-law. And that the whole point, you know, there's a long ways to get around to this, but the whole point is that that's the difference between perishable seed and imperishable seed. And when we read in the New Testament that we are born again of imperishable seed, not the perishable kind, but of imperishable seed, that means that we have the life in us that comes only through Jesus Christ. Amen? Only comes through Jesus Christ. And even though we can trace the family tree of Jesus all the way back to Judah and all the way back to Tamar and all the way back to that story of perishable seed, the New Testament reminds us that when we're born anew, I am born of imperishable seed. It cannot go to waste. It will bring me not only an abundant life, it's going to bring me an eternal life. All right, that commercial was brought to you courtesy of Genesis chapter 38, and I'm glad we're past that, so now we can get on to the new stuff here. But just here's what happens after all that story, that Judah finds out that actually his daughter-in-law, who he thought was, you know, prostituting herself all over the place and was pregnant because of that, he finds out that the babies inside of her, the twins, actually belong to him. Reading verse 24. About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, is guilty of prostitution. As a result, she's now pregnant." And Judah said, "Bring her out and have her burned to death." And as she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. "I am pregnant by the man who owns these," she said. And she added, "See if you recognize whose seal and cord and whose staff these are." And Judah recognized them, and he said, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah." And he did not sleep with her again. And when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. And as she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, "This one came out first." But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said, "So this is how you have broken out." And he was named Perez. And then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was named Zerah. Okay, so I don't really understand all the scarlet thread things or how hands come out and go back in and don't come out again. But apparently, it was hard to count to two back in those days. Like, you'd think that this isn't such a difficult thing, because the whole point was they're trying to figure out, you know, which is the first to be born. That's a big deal, because that son would receive twice the inheritance. But I guess to me, and I maybe don't get it exactly, but, you know, it's not like there's 14 in there. There's only two in there. So, you know, the first one that comes out is the first one. Let's tie a string to them then, or whatever, put them down. And then the second, there's only two of them. But, okay, the tradition was is that they would put a scar. They did the same thing, by the way, with Jacob and Esau, if you want to read that story someday. The midwife would tie a scarlet cord around the first one to come out so that he would be identified as the first one and as the child of the inheritance. But the real point today in God's Word is that when Perez was born, the midwife looked at him and she said, his name will be Perez because you have broken out. I want to just spend some time this morning looking at what that really means. His name will be Perez because he has broken out. That's what the name actually means. And it's from that name, just so that we understand, as we're tracing the family tree and we see it going down, you know, from the trunk onto the limbs, onto Joseph, onto Jesus, who is the son of Joseph and Mary, who's the son of Mary, that it goes all the way back to this individual named Perez, who was born, one of the twins, born to Tamar, right? And that man who grew up, Perez, his name means to break out. To break out. This is how you have broken out, was what the midwife said. And I know there's a lot of scripture here, but I got to do one more thing. So turn with me to 2 Samuel, because this is going to help you understand it a little bit better. 2 Samuel, here's a story about David when he was first anointed. And remember, we talked last week that Jesus was what? The son of David and the son of... Oh, come on. Son of David and the son of Abraham, remember? He was the son of David, he was the son of Abraham, and because of that, he had the legal right to the throne. He had the legal right to the throne. He could legally call himself the King of Kings because he came from the house of Judah. Well, in this story, this is David. He's just anointed as king. And listen to what happens here. And we're going to read verse 17, 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold, and now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. This is really important. Try to really focus here. So here's what happened. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. And he said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemy." You get it? That's that same name, Perez. It's Perazim. It means break out. It means to break out. He says, "As waters break out, the Lord had broken out against my enemies before me." And so that place was called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Can you say amen? All right, I know, thick stuff, hard stuff. Hope you're following me. On August 22nd, 1981, I'll never forget this, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm laying in bed, and we're in Cranbrook at my mom and dad's house at the time, and my wife woke me up, and she said, "Stan, this is my firstborn. Stan, my water just broke. And I got to tell you, what followed from that was incredible stomach pain and stress and sweat, and it wasn't easy for Crystal either. I mean, everything just kind of cramped up, and I mean, I was young, and I didn't really even know what that term meant, actually. How does water break? I used to wonder about that, and, you know, but I'll tell you what, that began a series of things that happened that day, and I was a spectator for most of it, but I was there with eyes wide open going, "My God, I need you now," and I was just thinking, "I'm so glad I got a wife who's going to know how to keep this thing alive, because I have no idea how to keep it alive." But my wife was pretty good at all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, think about that term, water breaking. Some of you know personally what that's like. And Don, you don't know personally what that's like. Yes, I do, he said. We'll deal with you later. But, you know, that's sort of the image that Perez is supposed to bring us, and that people back, you know, 1,000 years before Jesus even came would have been thinking about that, that when you name your child Perez, it's really what that midwife was saying. Your name's going to be Perez because the water has broke and because you have broken out. And that our God, here's a message today, that our God is a God of breakout. He's a God who breaks through. And that's the point of the story of David when he was first anointed and he goes to defeat the Philistine army. You know, he asks God, God, what should I do? And God tells him exactly what he should do. And then David says, so this place where the victory has been won is going to forever be known now as Baal Perazim. For my Lord has broken through, right? He says, just like the waters have broken out. You can imagine, you know, the waters of birth, or you can think of the waves crashing onto the shore. He says, or like a dam. That's sort of the image that we have here of Perazim or Baal Perazim. It's like that, like a dam bursting. He says, that's what God's like. He bursts through with his victory. Isn't that cool? And that is the family tree that our Messiah comes from. He comes from victory. He comes from breaking forth, or waters that break out. He is a breakthrough God. You understand that? He is a breakthrough God. Thank you. Just a little more. Thank you. Thank you. We need to get excited about this. He's broken through. I was thinking about that this week in my life. I mean, how many times God has broken through in my life? And even last night, laying in bed, I was thinking of even a few examples that, you know, I hadn't even really thought about. How sometimes God has made breakthroughs in my life that I didn't even acknowledge, I didn't even know at the time. I could think of a few examples where he's done some things in my life, I didn't even know he was doing it until later, but it was a breakthrough for me. Some of those times, he was just saving me from me. You know what I mean? He was just saving me from me. But God is a breakthrough God. He breaks through the darkness and he shines his light. And his light shatters the darkness. And man, we sure need that in our lives, don't we? And I just want you to, real quickly, just think about what happened in this story of David. When David is given the victory over his enemies, there's just four really quick things that happen. And I just want to point them out because I really believe that this is a model for how we should live. You know, how are we supposed to live? Because I don't know about you, but I'm asking God for more breakthroughs. And we'll get to that in a minute or two before dessert gets served or the turkey gets served. But, you know, I want more breakthrough. I need some breakthroughs in my life. We need some breakthroughs in this city. And some of you need some breakthroughs, and you're just starting to think about it, that we need these breakthroughs. But four quick things, and this is just a good model for how we are to live. The first thing, if you notice carefully, is that David asks God. He says, Lord, what should I do? We don't always ask God. We just do stuff. We go ahead and we do whatever we feel like doing or whatever seems right to us. But I want you to notice this. That's not true of David. It says here, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Are we asking God what he wants? Are you asking God what he wants? Or are you assuming that you know what God wants? Because we do that so often. He inquired of the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? What should we do here? How do I attack these Philistines? He inquired of the Lord. That's the first thing. And that's why we get together Sunday night for prayer meeting. It's why we're getting together on Wednesday night with all the churches. We want to inquire of the Lord. We want to just say, God, we don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm not in control here. I can't figure all this out. What do you want, God? What do you want? Tell us. Show us. Second thing, and this is really ultra cool, is that God answered him. Wow. Guess what? You pray, and God goes, well, let me give you the answer, right? He inquired of the Lord, and it says here, and the Lord answered him. And the Lord answered him. Go, he says, I'm going to hand the Philistines over to you. Do we really believe that God answers us? Yeah. God answers your prayers. And really what we're being told here is that David actually listened to God. He not only asked God something, but then he listened. He said, okay, I want to listen. I want to hear what you have for me, Lord. What should I do in this situation? And when he was quiet and when he was still before the Father, God answered him. That's the second thing we're talking about how important that is. That we're not always talking. We're not always, you know, we make assumptions a lot. We pray and then we make an assumption. And it's almost like, I was thinking, you know, when my 16-year-old son would leave the house and grab the keys, and as he walked out the door, he'd say, I'm taking the car, okay, Dad? Slam. We do that with God sometimes. You know, I'm doing this, all right, God, and if I don't hear otherwise from you, I'm just going to assume that what you're telling me is the right thing here. And then we're so busy talking and making noise and shouting that we're not listening to God as he says, oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Don't run out of the house. Just sit here. I have something I want you to know. And just so you know, and I don't have time to get into it, but if you keep reading this story, there's another, just right away, David's asking again of God, how do we, and God gives him a whole different way to attack the Philistines. He says, go around the backside, go by the balsam trees. He says, this is the way you're going to win the victory this time. In other words, don't make assumptions. Don't think you know what God wants for you. Just shut up and just listen. I don't mean to be rude, but just listen. Just listen. The third thing is that David goes. I'm going to do this kind of quickly, but when God says go, David goes. God says, you're going to win this battle. David believed him. We just need to be obedient. We need to listen. But when we've heard from God, and that can happen lots of different ways, but when we've heard from God, it's time to go. It's not time to think about it. It's not time to call another prayer meeting. Those are always good, but that's not really what David does. It's not what we should do. When God says go, be obedient and go. And then the last thing is that David gives praise to God with a prophetic voice, really. With a prophetic voice, David gives praise to God, and we need to do that. It's why we need to be a people who are worshipers. It's why the worship that we do together is so important. And the more we talk about what kind of church we need to be, it's got to be part of the ingredient of the foundation of what the church is that we're living lives of worship. And I'm not just talking about the five songs that we sing before we start off here or as we start off here. I'm talking about our lives need to be lives of worship, that I worship God in my work. I worship God in how I love my wife. I worship God in how I discipline my children. I worship God in how I spend my money, that my life is worship. And what we learn from the story of David is that as he went and as he was obedient to God, he proclaimed the praises of God. Amen? And he says, so from now on, he says, this place is going to be called Baal Perazim. For there he defeated them. As the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. That's a prophetic declaration. As waters break out, you know, so who's getting the praise, you know? It's God who gets the praise in our lives. It's God who got the praise in David's life. And he wanted to be sure about this, saying, you know, God, you get the glory. The victory is because of you, God. You know, I haven't defeated the Philistines, but the Lord has defeated the Philistines. Glory to God. From now on, this place will be called Baal Perazim. Amen. I love it that you're sitting so close. God, listen. God is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord of breakthrough. And one of the reasons why Tamar and Perez are included in the family tree is because we recognize that in Christ Jesus, we have a breakthrough Lord and Savior. He's a God of breakthrough. And, you know, I don't know what you need in your life today that needs to be broken through. Maybe it's a wall, or maybe it's some fortress or some fear or depression. You know, something that needs to get broken through in your life. I want to tell you some really good news today that Jesus Christ is all about breaking through that kind of stuff. Amen? He can break through. He can break, and it's not hard. You know, he can break through whatever it is. It's not that hard for him if we ask him and if we listen to him. He's a God of breakthrough. And man, I wish I had time. I'm just going to give you three really quick examples. Well, the birth of Jesus itself is all about breakthrough. Think about this, that for 1,000 years, if not longer, the whole world was waiting, pregnant, you might say, for Jesus to be born. You know, and this was just waiting and waiting and waiting. When is the Messiah going to come? They kept asking. Where is the Messiah going to be born? And the whole world was waiting and waiting until one day, there's a breakthrough, right? One day, Jesus in a manger is born. Is he a God of breakthrough? He broke into our world. He broke through the darkness. He was born in a manger. He is Emmanuel, like we sang. He is God with us. He broke through. He broke through. That's just one example. I got to think of a bunch more, but here's another really good one. One day, Jesus found himself on the inside of a very dark tomb. And he rose from the dead that morning. And he'd been there for 3 days. And let me tell you something. On the third day, he broke out of that tomb because he's a God who breaks through. Amen? Yeah. He is risen, they cried out. I think maybe he even said it. You know, he stepped out of the tomb and he goes, I'm alive. I'm alive. The death couldn't hold on to me. Death had no grip on me. There is no more sting. It doesn't chain me down. I'm not chained down. I'm alive. He broke out. He broke out of that empty tomb. We get this picture sometimes, and I don't know this biblically. We get this idea sometimes that the stone rolled away, and it was like, it took like 30 minutes to finally move. I just don't think that happened. I think Jesus went, and bam! The whole thing was here one moment, and it was there the next moment, and he just stepped out of it, and he broke through. He said, I'm alive. I am alive. Okay, and then just one more quick one. You want to talk about New Testament and the breakthrough of Jesus and the breakthrough of this family tree, because I'm just brought also to that day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out and when he broke through upon the church. And that morning, the wind blew, and there was a gust of wind. There was a real breakthrough, a wind like we'd never heard before, and tongues of fire came and rested on each of them, and they spoke in a language that all the other people could understand. You want to talk about a breakthrough? That's our breakthrough, God, and he has empowered us, and he's filled us with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that right? So, I mean, I don't know, I think I'm twice as excited about this as you guys are. Maybe you got to digest this a little more, but you know, we serve a Jesus. Here's the point. I'm a believer and I belong to Jesus who breaks through into my existence and who reaches through it and he saves me and he busts the walls and he takes the chains and he breaks them off because he sets me free. Thank you, Lord. He set me free. And I don't know what kind of breakthrough you need in your life. I'd like you just to think about that for 5 more minutes here. We'll be done. I want you to think about what kind of a breakthrough you need. What are you needing in your life? What are you needing? What kind of barriers or hard things are you facing in your life? Maybe it's someone in your life or children, or maybe it's going through depression or you have suicidal thoughts. You need to break through that. And there's only one way, and that way is through Jesus. Maybe it's an addiction you have not been able to beat before. I want you to hear this truth today, because this is true, that Jesus, the Son of God, was born so that he could break through whatever needs to be broken through in your life. And God knows that in this world, there are so many things that we need him for to break through. We need him to break against the powers of evil in this world, the powers of greed. Think about young girls who are being sold as wives or prostitutes all over this world in the hundreds of thousands. And part of my prayer today is, God, break through that. Break through that injustice and that perversion. Or Islamic militants who are cutting off innocent people's heads. I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, stop that and break through with your justice. Break against the injustice in this world, God. Are we praying that together? How about people who are suffering at the hands of the leaders in their countries because the leaders are taking all the supplies and all the donations and they're building bigger mansions, but the poor are not being fed and the sick are not being given the medicine because of the corruption. I don't know about you, but I cry out, break through this, God. Break through this injustice. And we don't need to go to the ends of the earth. We can go right here in this city and we can cry out, God, break through. Right? Lord, break through the mess that this city is in. Lord, break through. Break through the blackness and the darkness and the principalities and the powers of this dark world. Break through it, Jesus. Break through the pain on the streets, Lord. That's my prayer. Jesus, if it's true that you are a God who breaks through, then break through the streets. Break through these women who are being sold as prostitutes and who are slaves to prostitution right here in Red Deer, and some of them are 12 and 13 and 14 years old. Our cry, Jesus, is that you'll break through that too. Break through the poverty. Break through the greed. And maybe, God, break through the apathy and the disunion of your church. Break through. You are God who breaks through. What do you need today? What needs to be broken through in your life? Because I can tell you this, that Jesus stands in front of us even right now, and he says, I'm here for that. I'm here to save you. I'm here to redeem you. That no matter what you've done, I'm here to forgive you. I want to just put my arms around you. I want to embrace you. I want you to know I love you. I love you so much. But like David, you need to ask. You need to ask, you need to listen, you need to go, and you need to praise him after he's done what he says he's going to do. What do you need? What kind of breakthrough do you need in your life? Let's just bow our heads. I want you to think, just for one moment, just think about that. What kind of a breakthrough would you ask Jesus for? Thank you, God. You are my Baal Perazim, my God of the breakthrough. Just listen to us, God. Jesus, we need you. God, we're tired of getting stuck. We're tired of being stuck, and we need the dam to burst. We need the water to break. We need a taste of the new life and the victory and the freedom that you promise us. So just break it through it, God. this morning. Just invite you to come to the front. And you know, you don't need to. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I'm just going to reiterate what I said before. If you don't ask, if you don't have the courage, that's fine. But God says, ask, come to me, and I'll give you what you need. And I'm just going to ask you this morning, if that's something that you know God is laying on your heart, not just because someone else wants you to do it, but you know God wants you to come forward, and he wants to give you this breakthrough. There's a whole lot of steps here. I'm going to ask you to come and get on your knees. Just get on your knees and ask him. Just ask him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just come. We're not going to twist anyone's arm. You come because God calls you. You come because the Holy Spirit calls you. God, thank you, Lord.
God is so good.
Just come to Jesus.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He breaks through my sin. He breaks through my sin. Yes, he breaks through my sin. He's so good to me.
I love him.